They'll be preaching from two different passages that are announcements of the birth of Jesus Christ. First comes in Luke chapter 1 and the second in Matthew chapter 1. There's a chronological order here. Angel Gabriel comes first to Mary and then later to Joseph. Listen as I read Luke 1 verses 26 through 38. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, or the power of the Highest, will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Then also reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Then Joseph, being roused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. "You shall call his name Jesus." Those are the words that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary and to Joseph. "You shall call his name Jesus." There's a lot in that name. In fact, there's a lot in names in general. You might think of your own name and find that your parents gave a lot of thought to the reason why they gave you that name. For some, there's a significance behind that, or some family remembrance. There may be a liking for the meaning behind the name. If you're able, you might ask your parents about why they chose the name they did for you. And just as a for instance, my full name is Robert Bruce Parnell, because I'm named after a famous Scotsman. Not Robert V. Bruce, the famous warrior king, But there was a Robert Bruce that followed after him about 300 years later, who was a Scottish minister during the time of Reformation. My parents were reading a volume of his sermons when I was born, and they were so moved by those sermons that they chose to name me after him. Well, in the Bible, you might know that names often carry a certain meaning or significance. And that's true for the names that have been given to our Savior. So today, and in the coming weeks as we lead up to Christmas time, I plan to preach from several passages and to consider the person and work of Jesus, especially by considering the names that have been given to our Savior. So I'll start today with the announcement that's given to Joseph and to Mary about the child that would be born to them. And you'll find that there are several names that are given to our Savior. I'll start with the name of Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus. That's what the angel told Joseph some 2,000 years ago. Joseph was engaged to a young woman, a woman named Mary. And as the account goes, it was found that she was pregnant. Now, normally, that would indicate that Mary and Joseph had slept together before their wedding. That was would normally have been a cause for accusation and confession of sin, an accusation, or it would have been a shameful aspect to their marriage. But Joseph knew that he had not slept with Mary. So it must have been another man. But Joseph, who is described here as a just man, was considering breaking off their engagement and doing so in a quiet way so as not to expose Mary to hardship or as little shame as possible. That would have been the normal thing to do. There was nothing normal about Mary's child. Earlier, God had sent his angel Gabriel to tell Mary about that child that she would have. "Don't be afraid, Mary," says the angel, "for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." To both Mary and Joseph, the angel had said, "You shall call his name Jesus." And so far, so good. Even though Mary here is confronted with an angelic being, which is awe-inspiring to say the least, she's tracking along and she's understanding that she's going to have a baby. But that baby is not going to come in the normal way. And Mary asks about that. "How can I have a child if I'm not married? I've never slept with a man." And so Mary, who was a virgin, was told by the angel that she would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that child that she bore would be the Savior. So when this happened, when Mary became pregnant, and Joseph finds out, God sent his angel to Joseph to ease his understanding and to tell him about this miracle. And that's where we started, that the angel came to Joseph and said, "This child, or that your engaged wife, Mary, is with child by the Holy Spirit, not by another man." And so he says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife. What she has conceived is from the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And that's what the name Jesus means. It is the background of that name is the meaning Jehovah saves. The Lord saves. It was actually a fairly common Jewish name. If the internet had been around in Jesus' day, you could have Googled popular baby names and found out that Joshua the Hebrew form of Jesus, that was a very popular name. Google would have popped up and said it's ranked in the, I don't know, the top 10. Very popular name for boys. And that's because it expressed a longing and a hope for the people of God. They knew that they needed to be saved and that salvation could only come from Jehovah, from the Lord. And so there was this longing that was expressed by this name, that God would save. In fact, you would find that longing expressed all throughout the Bible, starting from the very beginning. Right at the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned and God drove them from the Garden of Eden, he promised that there would be a son that would be born, that would take sins away. And even then, there was this beginning of longing and hope that is a gospel hope that the Lord would save us from our sins. That really is the message of Jesus' name, that the Lord saves. It is a gospel name, that the Lord would provide salvation from our sins. There's an admission of sins in that. There's an admission of what the Bible says, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We ourselves recognize ourselves in that. We know that we are sinners. And all throughout history, there is this anticipation and looking for a Savior. As the angel came to Mary and Joseph, he revealed to them that now the Savior was coming into the world. And you shall call his name Jesus. Jehovah saves. To that name, Gabriel adds several more. I'm going to take two together in his words to Mary. He says of this child that he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall be called the Son of God. Son of the Highest and the Son of God. I want you to pause just a moment and recognize how stunning of an announcement this is. When you think about how great and how good God is, one indication of that is that throughout the Bible, God says that you should treat even his name as holy. The Lord God doesn't give his name to anyone else. And he says that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That holiness of God is wrapped up in his own name. And here, the angel is describing the child that Mary would have as being the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. The Most High and Holy God who dwells in pure light has not only allowed himself to be known, but is stooping down to reveal himself in person and in flesh, to live among men. It's a mystery that just boggles our minds, that God would become flesh. And just imagine Mary hearing this for the very first time. She knew and she believed those promises of God that the Lord would send a Redeemer. That was the anticipation all throughout the Old Testament, the longing for the Christ, the Messiah that would come. She, like all of God's people, longed for fulfillment of that promise. But little did she know the full extent of how God would accomplish that promise and the role that she would play in that. She was favored by God to be the one who would bear the child in her womb. And so this blessing comes to Mary and from there to all of mankind. The angel says, you will have a son, Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. Gabriel was announcing the Redeemer that is God who comes in the flesh. And Mary responds to that. She confesses her hope and some of her confusion by asking, how can this be? To which the angel replies and answers her question, describing the miracle that we call the virgin birth. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. In other words, Mary was to remain a virgin. The baby that she bore was not the son of Joseph, the carpenter. He was the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, fully God and fully man. What a majestic majesty this is. These names in particular are ones that make clear the divinity of our Savior Jesus. The Lord saves, and he is saved by becoming God in the flesh. Now, I want you to recognize that this is one of the indications of the divinity of Jesus Christ, that he bears the names of God himself. There are other proofs that the rest of Scripture is going to bring in. Not only does he name God, but he does the work of Jehovah. You can find that he does the work of creation, that he controls the winds and the waves, that he speaks authoritatively about God's word. He has the power to forgive, the power to give life. He does the work of Jehovah. And not only is he named God, and not only does he do the works of God, but he receives the worship that only God deserves and only God receives. This happens from his birth, does it not? The angels come and praise God for the birth of Jesus Christ, glorifying God in the highest at who and what Jesus is. The Magi come and bow before him. And later in his life, you'll find that others bow before him and give worship to Jesus. And he receives that as God alone can. Jesus, our Savior, is God, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. The final name that I will call to your attention today is the name that comes in Matthew, the name Emmanuel. In Matthew 1, after the angel had spoke to Joseph, the Apostle Matthew makes a connection with what is happening now to what had been promised all the way back hundreds of years ago by the prophet Isaiah. There the prophet said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. There's another name that has meaning. If you break down the components of that name, it literally is God with us. It tells us again that our Savior is fully God. By the miracle of the virgin birth, God provided the only way of redemption, the only way that we could come before the presence of a holy God. Because only God can accomplish the forgiveness of sins. Think of really the great gospel implications of this. I said earlier that we know that we have sinned, that we deserve God's just judgment. We've sinned against a holy and eternal God. And the judgment that is deserved is an eternal judgment, an eternal punishment. That is the only thing that can satisfy God's just judgment. But God has graciously provided a way of escape. God has provided Jesus, God himself, who could take the penalty that you and I deserve, the eternal punishment that you and I deserve. And in his suffering on the cross, he could take and fully pay the penalty. The eternal judgment of hell is taken by Jesus so that you can have eternal life. That's what is required by our Savior. It is required that He die on the cross for our sins. It is required that He come and live a perfect life for us. And as our judge and as our substitute, Jesus Christ came. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus, very God of very God, became man so that He could fulfill the law and die on the cross on our behalf. And that's why Isaiah and Matthew name Him Emmanuel, God with us. Or as Paul says to Timothy, God was manifested in the flesh. Or as John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when Matthew names this son Emmanuel, he said something more than the Lord's power and grace is with us. By the virgin birth and by the names that are given, he says something more, that God Himself is with us. My prayer is that you would understand and believe that Jesus is God Himself, God with us, and that your faith rests on the one named Emmanuel, God with us, for God came to save us from our sins. These names reveal important truths about our Savior, and for today, that most important truth is that Jesus is God. It is necessary for our Savior to be God. It is necessary that God become flesh so that He could accomplish salvation. While I know that the name of Jesus is well known to you, I hope that today and through this Christmas season that you would meditate on the meaning of that name of Jesus. Jehovah saves. That you would praise Him for what He has done. Meditate that He is called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, and Emmanuel, God with us. That's important to you because He is the only way for your sins to be forgiven, the only way for you to go to heaven. Jesus is the only one who is qualified to accomplish this. Why? Well, because He is fully God. Were He anything else, He would not and could not be your Savior. You see, Jesus is not just a good man, as is sometimes portrayed these days. He's not just a cute baby that is especially popular during Christmas time. He was and He is God. Therefore, I pray that you would know Him for who He is. That you would believe that He is God, that He became man to save us from our sins, and that you would entrust yourself to Him, body and soul, as your Savior. Let's pray. Well, Lord our God, we do thank You for our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a familiar story to us, but I pray that we would meditate it and with fresh eyes in this Christmas season, that we would be reminded that our Savior is God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, who suffered and died on our behalf so that we might have life. Oh God, I pray that we would hear and believe this truth, that in believing that You would grant faith, that we would entrust our souls to our Savior Jesus. This is why He came. He's come to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll respond and close by singing Psalm 40, Selection B. Earlier we sang from the A selection where Jesus says, "Behold, I come to do Your will," speaking of His fulfillment of the law and His obedience on our behalf. It then goes on to describe how this truth of forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to us, and that we, as we ask God for forgiveness, can cry out with glory, you know, with rejoicing, that the Lord saves. Psalm 40, selection B. Please stand to sing.